everybody. Welcome back to Is This a Ghost? I'm Clayton Smith, and every week I tell a real ghost story from real history to my real friend, Patrick Dean, who doesn't take it real seriously, but who does eat the salmon on the Amtrak.
God.
And as the audience surrogate here, I have to ask, what were you thinking?
I was actually looking at all the different options, and Amtrak salmon was the most palatable of all of the options.
I can't imagine that's possibly true. What else was there?
There was a fettuccine Alfredo that was, in one video I saw of, because I actually watched the videos of people eating some of these meals on Amtrak to see what my experience is going to be.
Everyone has their own fetish.
That's exactly. Fine. Yeah. The fettuccine one, when the guy was served, it was still
fettuccine.
It was just like a frozen hockey puck of the butter in the center. And that was it.
Say the video was a fetish eating.
I wouldn't say that. Okay. And then
what so else? That sounds pretty good, actually. So far, so good.
Frozen hockey puck of butter.
Better over the Amtrak salmon. Yeah. Okay, but keep going.
Yeah, there was the butter chicken, which I did have on Thursday night.
Okay.
Unexpectedly. I would not have chosen the butter chicken, but it was chosen for me because the train was so late. They were like, you need to eat now contractually. And I was like, I already ate before I got on the train because I don't want to eat this food, but now I'm sitting here and you've handed it to me.
Got to keep your health points up.
And now
sepsis is everywhere in this train. You have to keep your health points up.
This is full of antibiotics purely to get you through this trip.
Okay. And then the salmon.
And the salmon. Yep.
Now, you know, this Amtrak in particular, it's the Texas Eagle, right?
Correct. Yes.
Which goes, San Antonio to Chicago?
It hits a few things along the way, but yeah, generally.
Is one of them an ocean?
It's near the ocean. How close to the ocean is Marshall, Texas?
the layman, that's we call that Texarkana is the nearest town you might have heard of. And it's not. It is in a state that borders the ocean.
Right. But both of them don't border the ocean. Texarkana's on the... Yeah, so...
No. So if that gives you an idea of how far away from the ocean Texarkana is. Yeah.
I don't think I eat ocean salmon. I've never really checked, but I don't think I eat ocean salmon. I think I probably eat river salmon. Yeah.
Yeah, so you'd like a Mississippi River salmon
exactly.
is what you want.
Yep, and there's lots of those.
Just chock-a-block with majestic salmon swimming up the mighty muddy.
It was great. And then I woke up this morning and I checked my phone to see what time the train was, how late the train was going to be getting into St. Louis. Because I'd sort of planned, well, the train is probably going to be late, so I'll be able to sleep in, maybe eat.
Because as a reminder, everyone else on the trip got home yesterday.
Right.
But you were on
I wasn't playing that game.
Train ride, so.
And I checked my phone when I woke up, and the train was running 60 minutes early somehow. Mm-hmm. So I was home. I was in my house before the train should have even arrived.
They said, listen, this guy had the salmon. We got to get him off the train.
This guy
before the effects take hold.
This is
liability. We don't have the coverage. I guess go ahead.
They did mention if anything bad happened to salmon, they're going to have to blow the doors in my room. I didn't know what that meant, but it sounded bad.
They said, if we don't, trust me, you will. You will. Well, the other question I think probably everyone is dying to know is, did you take a train shower?
I did not take a train shower.
Yeah, I knew you didn't have the stones. You coward.
Yeah, so the train shower was not recommended to me by either of the sleeping car attendants. And I figure if the people who are there selling me on the Amtrak experience are telling me, do not take the train shower, I'm going to go with them.
Did you peek in the shower?
I did. It looked as clean as the bathrooms do.
Ooh.
Yeah, so, you know.
Yeah.
You've been in an Amtrak bathroom before, right?
I've been in way more Amtrak bathrooms than I would like.
Right. So imagine that, but now you're wet instead of everything else just being wet.
No
interest.
Check everything.
Yeah.
All right. Well, did you have fun on the trip?
It was okay.
Cardinals got absolutely housed.
Yeah.
One of our games, that wasn't good. Got to sit by pool for most of the weekend, though. That was nice.
That was nice. That was the best part of the whole weekend. Playing with the house dog and laying about in the pool drinking the purple beer.
Drinking. It was good. It was good stuff. Well, let's see. Do we have any notes here? I have I have an announcement that I should have made probably last week. In case anyone is interested in the books that I write, Slaughterhouse Run is out now. It's the book 4 in the Apocalypticon series, a series that stars a fictional Patrick, a fictional and much more charismatic Patrick.
Ooh, somehow.
I would say, yeah, it was hard to find new ways to ratchet that up, but I figured it out. Amy helped. She gave notes. She's like, here are the things you could strike, and that would really, really help this. And that's it. So that's out, and you should go check it out. Slaughterhouse Run is really fun. It's part of the Apocalypticon series, but this one is inspired by like Death Race 2000 and Cannonball Run, and it's fun. All right. What else do I want to say? Do you have any other like announcements or anything? Anything you want to plug?
You've been around me for 75% of the time since we last recorded this, so
it's tough. It's tough to come up with new content.
Nothing new.
Well, let's dive in then, shall we? Oh wait, I'm not ready. I forgot that we do this.
There we go.
It's so loud. Too loud for
it's perfect in my end. That's just perfect.
Angus Gilchrist Wynne Jr. was born on January 9th, 1914 in Dallas, Texas.
That sounded right. Yeah. Anyone named Angus? Mm-hmm. Like 70-30 shot.
Yeah.
Texas or
Cal.
Mumbai.
Oh.
No. Scotland.
Yeah. Well, I also often get Mumbai and Scotland confused. Yeah, let's see. His father, of course, was Angus G. Wynne Sr. Mm-hmm. Sr. was a lawyer who hopped around the state of Texas a bit before eventually coming to settle in Dallas. Now, dad's a bit of a big shot. He was the first president of the state bar of Texas.
Okay,
the legal one. I don't think they had like a state alcohol bar. You know what I'm saying?
You can't really be the president of that. You can be the king of that.
That's right. That is the proper hierarchy. You don't vote someone in to be the president of the bar. That's just that just comes from blood. Either sired or spilled. So Angus's mom was a woman named Nemo Shellfire Wynne. She was born. You got a woman named Nemo Shellfire. Uh-huh. Which state do you think she's from? It's not Texas. I'll give you that hint.
Ooh, Nemo Shellfire. I'm going to have to go with Oklahoma.
You are geographically, I guess, a little close.
Hey.
Emotionally, very far off. She's from Baton Rouge, Louisiana.
Baton Rouge.
Okay. Baton Rouge. Angus also had a brother, so they had two boys. His brother's name was Bedford Wynne. And the boys attended Highland Park High School in Dallas. Angus was involved in declamation.
Oh, okay.
And you know what declamation is.
I do. That is the studying of the way things degrade over time.
Swift. It's basically oratory. It's about declaring things.
Oh, okay. Yes.
Declaring things, I guess, in an exclamatory way.
Okay.
Declamation. It's like debate, except you're not debating anyone.
It's just you.
You're just droning on.
Okay.
Which, now that I say it out loud, is kind of like what I do for a living.
Yeah.
It's kind of like being a professor, I guess.
Or a podcaster. Either way.
Yeah. Yeah. Apparently, he's pretty skilled at declamation. Mm. He continued his declamating into his college years, where he competed at the University of Texas and made it into the final round.
Wow.
Didn't win.
Well.
But he's in there. Apparently, at some point, he attended boarding school in New Jersey. His schooling is a little hard to pin down. I don't know. He hops around. We'll see him hopping around a little bit more at school. But he's an interesting guy. He's also interested in theater, which is not the national sport of Texas.
Mm.
But he likes it. He participated in the Austin Little Theater for a time. He performed in a 1934 production of Design for Living. And you probably remember who wrote Design for Living.
I don't.
I'll give you a hint. We talked about him this weekend, actually.
Oh.
At the pool.
I don't remember who we talked about at the pool.
Noel Coward.
Noel Coward. Still don't remember that.
No.
But that's fine.
Standard baseball fare. Mm-hmm. I'm talking about Noel Coward shows. Mm-hmm. Still Coward play. So he also attended Washington and Lee University out in Lexington, Virginia, here near me.
Mm.
He was there for a little while. He eventually finished his degree from University of Texas, Austin in 1938. So He's bouncing around school-wise. Mm. It was some school, then boarding school, mm-hmm. then I think Washington and Lee, and then UT Austin. Mm-hmm. I missed one.
He may be running from debt. That's kind of what it sounds like to me.
It's like possible.
Bunch of student loans, don't pay them off, on to the next school.
He was a rich kid, though, so he probably was running from murders.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
I murdered enough people here. My dad can't cover it anymore.
Yeah.
Gotta go. It's like that movie, The Skulls. I think that's what that was about.
Hmm.
Pacey murdered too many people and had to leave school or something. Let's see. Angus's brother, Bedford, also ended up at UT, and both of them joined the Phi Kappa Psi fraternity, which in the chapter that their father had founded at UT in 1904.
Hmm. Okay.
A bit of a fraternal dynasty. So, let's see. Goes to boarding school in Jersey, College of Virginia, College in Austin. He's interested in theater. Of course, there's only one logical career path for old Angus. He goes to work in the Texas oil fields.
Mm. Putting on little shows between derrick strikes.
Yeah. Hey, grunts, come over here. I've prepared something for you. You'll really like it. He did that from 1938 to 1940. Now, I'm guessing he wasn't like a real oil field worker. Mm-hmm. I'm guessing his dad owned a field or two.
Okay, yeah. He's not like that guy from the Facebook videos. It's like covered in dirt and oil, like trying to wrestle the huge pipe. That's not him.
No.
Okay.
You watching Facebook videos?
Yeah. That's all I watch now.
God, how old are you?
Yeah.
Let's see. Angus would later be referred to as a Texas oil man. So they don't call you that if you're doing the work out there.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Yeah. So after 2 years of working out in the oil fields, though, he decides to enlist in the U.S. Navy Reserve. And on August 18th, 1940, he attends the U.S. Naval Reserve Midshipman's School.
Mm-hmm.
Now, 1940 is an exciting time to join the military.
It's a little dicey. Yeah.
But he goes for it. On October 1st of the following year, 1941, he is stationed on the USS Nicholson, named for Jack, of course.
Mm-hmm. Right, sure.
He's already a hero. And then on July 17th, he moved over to the USS Grayson,
mm-hmm.
named for Dick.
Yes.
Of the Flying Graysons.
Mm-hmm.
Here's a quote. In the Navy, he was awarded 6 service stars for service in the European and Asiatic theaters during World War II. So covered a lot of ground, got some stars, and that is the end of all the military service details I can find on Angus. This one's going quickly. Do you want to like cut in with some kind of commentary or your thoughts so far?
He sounds really boring. He just really does. You know, yeah. I mean, I like when he was doing plays in the oil fields, but then now he's on a boat.
That was the apex.
Yeah. I mean, he's like getting a bunch of stars, which when you get like a whole bunch of the same star over and over again on a boat, really makes it sound like it's like an attendance prize. Like, oh, you showed up for all of your shifts here. I'm so proud of you.
Yeah.
Or like,
you think he's doing shows on the boat?
I think so. I hope so. I think Bob Hope probably shows up, maybe discovers him. I don't know if I'm getting too far ahead. I think Bob Hope probably discovers him.
Uh-huh.
And then it turns out, you know, he's really like Jack Palance or something like that.
That's yeah. Well, he has to get a new name because, of course, there was already what's his name? Angus Gilchrist Wynn Jr.
Yeah.
Actor in the Actors Guild.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. SAG is like, nope, sorry. Your new name is Jack Palance.
I just learned today. You know, Nathan Lane, his first name is not Nathan?
No, I did not know that.
Apparently, his first name is Joseph.
Joe Lane.
Mm-hmm.
But then there was that Dolly
Joe
Parton
Lane.
Song, so he could.
Joe Lane. Right. Joe Lane. Yep, got there at the same time. Apparently, there was another actor in the guild at the time that he needed to establish himself mm-hmm. in the guild. And so, like, you got to pick a different name.
Yeah.
And what did he say? He says he had played Nathan Detroit on stage in like high school or college. He'd also played Benjamin Franklin in 1776. He was either going to be Benjamin Lane or Nathan Lane.
Mm.
He thought Nathan Lane just sounded a little bit better.
Yeah, it's shorter too.
Yeah, and Nathan Detroit is a much cooler character than Benjamin Franklin.
Mm.
Did Nathan Guys Detroit, and Dolls, you know, Guys and Dolls.
But did he discover electricity?
No, but he was played by
did he either Marlon Brando or Frank Sinatra. Glasses?
Which one was Nathan Detroit? Brando? No. Did he think turkey should be the national
that's
bird?
The only, that's the third one. That's the only one I had. Was, I'm dry after that one.
Dry as a turkey. Anyway, where are we here?
He gets got a bunch of stars for
Jack Brant,
for his boat being the only one that survives something.
Okay, so, well, like I said, that part. But once he leaves the military, Angus decides he should go into real estate.
Sure, why not?
Feels good.
Mm-hmm.
He was brought on eventually as the president of American Home Realty. And I don't think you go from, like, I want to do real estate to be.
I was going
to
say, this, yeah.
Yeah. There's a lot of details about the wealth of their family, yeah. I think, being kind of glossed over here.
Mm. I can see that.
He set up a deal to buy the Blessing and Giddens Mill and Lumber Company, which at the time was Dallas's oldest and largest mill.
Mm, okay. Among their many storied mills.
Yes, there's many storied mills. Lots of really tall milling trees in Texas, as we all know. Famous for their milling trees. And now they've got this mill. So they've got all this access to milled lumber.
Mm-hmm.
So it's time to build some fucking houses.
Yes.
They begin development of a $25 million residential development that they are going to name Wynwood.
Oh, okay.
And I imagine it probably did give Wynn some wood. $25 million today. Any guesses?
Say $29 million.
Three. What? Close. It's pretty close.
Okay.
$370 million.
Okay.
There's our boy.
Oh, okay. Oh, he's got a good look to him.
He's got a good jaw.
I do like that. Yeah. It's a good jaw.
Good jawline. It's hard to dislike this guy. Mm. But we'll try. In Wynwood, the plan was they're going to build 2,200 houses and 1,000 apartments.
Okay.
Lots of living space. It was the largest integrated home building project in American history at this time.
Hmm.
And in order to really pull this off, the company formed a new company called Wynwood Development Corporation. And Angus is made the president of that as well.
Okay.
Are you following along and are you interested at all?
He is. I mean, I like that this is a real underdog story. I'm really, mm-hmm. I love this. He came from nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Now he is everything. He came
from absolutely nothing. Yeah. Yeah, whose dad isn't a president of a bar?
I know.
He also served on the board of the Wynwood Bank. You got to have a bank if you're going to build a community. You got to have a bank,
right? Yeah.
He basically runs a bank.
It's pretty convenient.
It's named after him. He has to run it. Then in January of 1956, Angus and one of his uncles, they join up with some other real estate developers from all around the country, and they announce the development of a new $500 million industrial park.
Whoa.
On U.S. Route 80. I didn't even do that math. Let's see.
$500 million. It's probably like, I don't even know, $5 billion something.
1956. It is worth about $5 billion today.
See? Wow. Yeah, I know. Pretty okay. good.
Yeah, well, Jeremy, just cut all that, Jeremy. Don't make Patrick sound good. Or make it sound like he said something like $8, or, you know, something stupid like that.
Yeah, you can use the word fafillion if you need to, Jeremy. It's totally fine. Here, I'll give you a good cut. Fafillion. So, you can use that if you want.
You nailed your own laugh. That's great. The group bought a huge ranch located between Dallas and Fort Worth.
Mm-hmm. Is this, hang on. Where did we spend our whole weekend? Did we spend our whole weekend in an industrial park between Dallas and Fort Worth?
Did we? It was so long ago.
I have a video of you crawling through a swamp in an industrial park between Dallas and Fort Worth. So, yeah.
I think that's interesting.
Yeah.
Huh, interesting.
Did I not ever send that to you? I should send that to Aaron. I'll send it to her
later.
Yeah.
I think I put it on TikTok, actually.
You did? Okay, good.
Yeah. That's good. So But let's speak on that for a minute. Mm-hmm. So for those of you who haven't seen this video that I posted, we went to the Texas Rangers Cardinals game, and the second game we went, we parked in this industrial parking lot,
mm-hmm. which was extremely close as the crow flies to the stadium.
Sure,
right.
You could see the stadium very clearly.
The first day, terrible parking. You could barely see the stadium. We were very far away.
Mm-hmm.
Day two, we thought we'll park really close to the stadium. Right. Sure.
Yeah.
So we followed.
We said we're so around. Close. And why is it cheaper? A great deal. This is a good deal.
Yeah. It was also a very odd number. It was like two random kids and they're like, oh, it'll be $19. I'm like, you two kids in a fucking field. What's wrong with you? $19 shit.
It'd be $19.27, please.
Yeah.
So we paid it. And we parked in this industrial parking lot. And we saw it didn't look like there was a way to go around. There's a fence with barbed wire all around mm-hmm. it. We're like, well, how do we got to get across that? To go, and I suggested maybe we just climb on top of a truck and just jump over and sure. take our chances.
Yes. Although it did look like it was like barbed wire fence, then probably 50 feet of poison ivy and weeds and reeds and things like that.
A river.
A creek. Definitely a creek in there as well. And uh-huh. then train tracks.
Yeah.
And then the rest of the industrial park and then the baseball stadium.
Yeah. But we saw some people going in the direction of the corner of this lot. We thought, well, I guess we'll just follow them. Surely they know what they're doing.
One of two things is about to happen.
Yeah.
We're either going to get into the baseball stadium or we're going to figure out what illicit shit these people are getting into, and we'll get to do it too.
Yeah. Either way, win-win. Mm-hmm. So we go over there and we go to the corner, and there is someone had taken some sort of metal cutters, and they had cut, it's like a cartoon. They had cut a hobbit-sized, I would say,
hole. I would not say man-sized fence. I would not say man-sized hole.
Hobbit-sized. And they had also laid a pallet across the creek on the other side, so you could crawl under the fence and walk across a broken pallet just to leap onto the railroad tracks to then cross over. And then you were in pretty good territory.
Now, mind you, this lot we parked in had several hundred cars in it. So several hundred people and their guests and children and grandparents or whatever have already crawled through this hobbit-sized chain link fence hole, crawled across a creek, dashed through a train track to save $6 on parking, maybe?
And it was worth every penny.
It really was.
And if you find my video that I put on TikTok, you will see, Patrick, not under the Is This a Ghost, under Clayton Source, you will see. So it's video of everyone coming through, but then you can the camera turns and you can see there's another like family coming from like 30 yards up. They're emerging from the brush up there and then coming down. So this is like, all along the fence, there are these spots, people coming through. And my favorite part was, if you decided that you didn't want to go under the fence and cross rail track, you could just stick around because there was a random propane grill, a full-size grill against the fence that you could just stay there and just like grill stuff. So this is excellent tailgating spot.
Absolutely.
Anyway, so that has nothing to do with this story.
No.
But this does happen to be a big industrial park project between Dallas and Fort Worth, right around, I would say, Arlington.
Okay, fair enough.
So this is a massive project. It's expected to employ 100,000 people. It looks so enticing that later that year, more investors came on board, including a man named John D. Rockefeller, the third of the John D. Rockefellers of the Center family. But they hit a bit of a snag during development. Milton Stern, who owned a company called Texas Industrial Ventures, sued the entire group claiming they had stolen his idea
of building an industrial park.
Yeah. Industrial park, which I don't think you can trademark that.
No, it seems pretty tough.
Yeah. So he sues him. It takes up some time. The judge rejects the lawsuit, but the judge also does rule that Texas Industrial Ventures was entitled to purchase 6 tracts of the ranch land for $18,000.
Okay.
Which I don't understand, and I couldn't find any details about. So that's it. They squeeze the judge, I guess. So this is an issue, but they move forward eventually. Construction finally begins in 1956. Now, not long after, Angus decides that if they're going to do this whole thing right, if we're going to build this huge industrial park, we really got to build a railway.
Yes.
We want to bring in industry to the industrial park, right? Industrial materials. They want to do a private railway because they don't want the government to you know, have to hem and haw and try to build this out. Also, they would like to make the money off of it. So they propose a private railway, and the proposal is approved. The railway they establish is called the Great Southwest Railroad. It connects the industrial district to the Texas and Pacific Railway and to the Chicago Rock Island Pacific Railroad.
Oh, interesting.
So they lay the track. They got trains going. They can get materials right into the industrial park. They can export things right out of there. Everything is going great. Everything is in place. There's only one. There is one issue. It's small.
Mm-hmm.
Small issue.
Is it the creek?
It's not the creek. Not yet. The only problem right now is that actually no businesses want to use the space.
Oh, okay.
No industry wants to come to the industrial park.
Maybe they visited Texas once and they were like, oh. Never mind.
Maybe they live in Texas and been doing business there and like, we're working real hard to get out of this state. I don't think so. So no one wants to go there. So Wynn decides they need to attract people to the area. Like if more people come to the area, they'll see it, they'll love it, they'll see what we've built.
Right.
This will be great.
Or we can capture them.
Yes.
Yeah. That's the other option.
Set traps. Yeah. Set fun traps for these people. If we can get them here, we can keep them and charge them. It'll be great. So Angus has an idea. He decides they should build an expansion. This expansion will be something for the people. Now, the industrial park, that's for industry.
Right. Yeah. Not people. There's no people there. Yeah.
No. At this time, this was before. Corporations were not people yet.
Right.
Yeah. Citizens United was not even a thing. But now, of course, that's different. But back then, very different. So we got to build something for the people. This expansion will include a sports complex with a rifle range.
Okay. Yes. Yeah. I think we walked through that.
Yeah. that was just Texas. Rifle range, a driving range, a bowling alley, and a theme park called Southwest Land.
Okay.
And it's all one word, Southwest Land.
Southwest Land.
Southwest Land.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the mayor of Arlington at this time, Tom Vandergriff, he says to Angus, he's like, hey, if you're going to build a theme park, you know what you should do? I think you should go check out this new one that just opened in California. It's called Disneyland.
Mm-hmm.
I hear good things about it. Maybe it'll inspire you. Disneyland had been open for like 2 years, I think, at this point.
Right.
So Angus says, yeah, fine. Okay, I'll go to Anaheim. And he goes and he visits one of the greatest places on earth.
Mm-hmm. Anaheim.
Anaheim, yeah. And within that, he visits a ho-hum place, Disneyland. And he goes there. And of course, because he's a human person with a soul and a heart, he says, holy shit, this is incredible.
Mm-hmm.
And I like to think of like Disneyland is so great now. When it first opened, it must have been absolutely mind-blowing.
Mm-hmm.
So good. So good for the heart and the soul. We haven't done a Disney Dads episode of this podcast in a while. Anything you want to say about Disneyland?
Still never been. I have seen the model they have at Disney World, but never have been to Disneyland before.
The model they show at Disney World is actually a life-size model. It's a one-to-one.
It looked, yeah.
Yeah. Disney World is so much bigger. You don't really appreciate that till you're there seeing the one-to-one. Yeah, but
it makes me kind of like not want to go, you know? I mean,
well, that's weird.
Just because why do I want to go there and be disappointed? And the whole time be like, yeah, Disney World, like two people can fit on this ride, not just one. You know, I don't want to constantly be nitpicking it.
That makes sense. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, at this point, there's no Disney World. So he's like, whoa, this is incredible.
Yeah.
And he realizes that he has a real opportunity here, not just to build a theme park that will attract people to his industrial park. But he could build a theme park that it doesn't just exist in the Southwest, right?
Mm-hmm.
But it could be a park that truly celebrates Texas history.
Oh, okay. The way Disneyland celebrates Mickey Mouse.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. It's another one-to-one.
Okay.
I think that it's safe to say that Texans love Texas the same way that children love Mickey Mouse.
Yes. Yeah, I would say so.
Feels pretty close.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to celebrate the Texas history. So Angus comes back home and he goes absolutely gangbusters. He's got lots of ideas. He hires Marco Engineering to help design the park. And this is a company that is led by former Disneyland Vice President C.V. Woods. Construction on the park begins in August 1960. Angus really wants to give a nod to the full history of Texas.
Mm-hmm.
And there were six countries, mm-hmm. I guess we'll call them countries, that had governed Texas. France,
mm-hmm.
Spain, Mexico.
Right.
The Republic of Texas.
Right, correct.
The Confederate States of America.
Mm, right, sure. Yeah.
And, of course, the regular United States right. of America.
Yeah, the real one.
Uh-huh. Yeah, yep. So, Six Flags. So, Angus decides to name his theme park Texas Under Six Flags.
Texas, okay. Did he didn't, like, workshop that at all, right?
No, he was just okay. like, everyone here to Texas Under Six Flags. Texas Under Six Flags theme park. Doesn't even have land in the title.
Yeah.
Terrible. I will note that Six Flags, obviously we've all seen Six Flagses
right.
around. Mm-hmm. There's no more Confederate flags.
Yeah.
And I think that's important.
when I tried to, because June and Gloria have asked me that question before, and I explained to you, it's the Six Flags flew over Texas. And, oh, what are they? And I start to rattle through them, and then I get to the Confederacy, and they look up real quick, and they're like, I don't think I see that one up there. I was like, yeah, they don't do that one anymore. But it would yeah. but they had all the signage printed. They couldn't go back to five flags. They had to kind of stick where they were.
Yeah, yeah. Now they're just kind of fun, colorful flags.
Yeah, exactly.
Any questions? No? Yeah. Get out.
You'd be surprised how poorly Bugs Bunny with the Confederate flag workshopped the people.
But Yosemite Sam loved yeah. that shit.
Okay, fine. Each of you get a flag. Yosemite, I know which one you've already chosen. That's fine.
You don't have just don't even raise your hand. Yeah. Right, we got you, bud.
Pepe Le Pew, obviously. Speedy Gonzalez, clearly.
Uh-huh. oh, gosh. So he's going to name Texas Under Six Flags until his wife Joanne tells him, and this is a quote, Texas ain't under nothing. So she became a Texan real fast.
Okay.
She left that Louisiana behind and became just classic Texan. Texas ain't under nothing. Now I will say there's some things wrong with that statement. Mm-hmm. Texas is under the sun, the sky,
yes.
the clouds. It's under quite a few things, I
yes.
think.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But she says, Texas ain't under nothing. So Angus says, I'm so sorry, darling. And he adjusts the title a bit. Mm-hmm. The park becomes, of course, Six Flags Over Texas. Which is an interesting move. I don't know how familiar he is with spatial reality.
But right.
Six Flags Over Texas
yeah,
is the
or
same
even
concept of Texas Under Six Flags.
Like, you know, prepositions in general. That's like.
Yeah. That's yeah. Fine. Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah. You could have called it Six Flags Next to Texas.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. It's not good, but it would at least get to the point of what he's trying to do here.
I do wonder if he'd been like trying to find an excuse to fly a Confederate flag the whole time, and he was like, okay, how do I make everybody happy here? How do I get a Confederate flag up
mm-hmm.
and keep the Warner Brothers money coming in? I don't know how to do this exactly.
I'm going to thread this needle yeah. real carefully. So anyway, he calls the Six Flags Over Texas. Now, construction's going fine. It's going great.
Mm-hmm.
Angus really wants this to compete with Disneyland, and he thinks he can do it.
Okay.
He brings in a man. He's already got the engineering firm.
Right. Is he considering making it clean?
What are you suggesting?
I've been to a lot of Six Flags and a lot of Disney parks, and like that's one of the cost savings measures, let's just say, at Six Flags parks is it's
oh yeah, you're not saying that Disney World is not clean because it's
no,
very clean.
No, I'm saying is he intending to compete with Disney World by making the park as clean as Disney?
Oh, I don't know. Let's read more and find out.
I'm willing to bet no.
No, I have as someone who's worked 3 years yeah. at a Six Flags, I would say that was not in the manual that I received on day one.
Now, which uniform era did you work at Six Flags in? Did you work in the striped shirt era?
No, I didn't work striped shirt era. And I also didn't work technically for Six Flags. I was part of a lessee, so I was a company that leased space inside
the
front gate ticket booth or front gate photo.
Okay,
booth.
So you actually got paid.
Oh, I got paid. Actually, it's so crazy. So when I became a manager my second and third year, I got paid like $650 a week.
Holy.
As a high schooler and a freshman in college, it was so much money. I didn't know what to do with it. I didn't save any of it because I was a child, and I didn't have a prefrontal cortex. I didn't know what to do with it.
Went right into my arm. I was making
so much money.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, so it's going to be at Disneyland. He brings in a man named Randall Duell, which is a pretty good name, who he had worked at MGM designing film sets.
Oh, okay.
And he brings in another Disneyland alum named Charlie Thompson, who I forget what he did, but he's got a, he's building a team, right? He's building an A team. Six Flags Over Texas finally opens on August 5th, 1961. It is an immediate success. They brought in 8,374 visitors on opening day.
Whew.
I don't know. And I don't know how much it's expanded over the years. Obviously it's still there as we saw.
Sure.
It's got a pretty big footprint, really.
It seemed like it.
Yeah. So I don't know if it was the same footprint or not, but anyway, it's going like gangbusters. And in 1962, Great Southwest, the company, posts its first profit in history. And everyone's like, Angus, you are a genius. Mm-hmm. Now, I don't know if it's sold industrial lots.
I was going to say, I was going to sort of take a little peek in at the industrial park at this point, because when we visited that area over the weekend, there are definitely inspiring parts of that development and uninspiring parts of that development.
Mm-hmm.
So I think we parked at the uninspiring ones.
I think when we said that they'd cut through the fence with some sort of blunt implement, that was pretty clear. So in 1967, 5 years later, Angus leads the company to expand to a second park, Six Flags Over Georgia.
Oh, okay.
And which suddenly makes less sense as a name, because I don't think there were six countries that ruled Georgia.
Yeah, I'm not entirely sure how that works out. I mean, you have two options. You can either keep the name and everyone's confused, or you can figure out how many flags are supposed to be, and then
Everyone's more confused.
They're like, wait.
Yeah.
Three flags over Georgia? Are you the same as the one? Yeah, we're the one. It's the same as the one in Texas. Yeah, we got the Joker right.
We are. Yeah.
Yeah.
And in 1971, they opened their third Six Flags Over Mid-America.
Ooh, buddy.
In Eureka, Missouri.
Eureka Mo.
Yep. And I already previewed this, but I guess I'll call this a fun fact.
Wham!
28 years later, young Clayton Smith would start a 3-year stint as a Six Flags employee at that park. I'll tell you the stories that I have from that time is they would just hollow you out to your core. That's a whole different podcast entirely.
You would never want to ride another roller coaster again, nor touch another human being. So.
Yep, that's pretty much true. So they get these three parks going. But the cost of building new theme parks is so high. Mm-hmm. Like, obviously it is.
Yeah, the bribes.
Yeah, it's number one
plywood. Is plywood. It's just unbelievable.
This is when they're building roller coasters out of paper clips and plywood. And you wouldn't think that would be expensive.
And but so much more rope than you would assume. But just like so miles of rope.
Yeah, mostly for the netting. You got to weave the netting for when the paper clips fall apart. Right. So expensive. It's so costly. So then the model shifts a bit and they start buying existing parks instead.
Okay.
Which goes a little better. They buy up a bunch. I didn't write them down, but then Six Flags becomes very quickly the world's largest regional theater.
Yep.
Boy.
I've seen the show at the palace. I know exactly what it is. Bugs comes out with the tuxedo. Goes right into a Vita. It's
unbuttons
fantastic.
A little button. Yeah. Unbuttons another button. Yeah. Shows a little leg. Pulls out a mop. Takes off the mop part. Puts it on his head. It's a wig. Oh, now it's a dress. Now he's in a dress.
Then he does, Glass Menagerie, without breaking a beat. And you're like, man, this is just fantastic. I love
this. But how did they get Tweety in that cage and to act so still? That's crazy. So it becomes the world's largest regional theme park chain.
Never mind.
Yeah, sorry. Different. But in July 1970, the cost of maintaining all these parks was more than their poor hearts could bear. And the parent company applies to reorganize Great Southwest, and therefore all the Six Flags parks, under bankruptcy law.
Oh, no.
How many times? This is going to be the first of many
bankruptcies. I was going to ask.
I didn't look up the number, but I know they've had several in the last like 20 years. Mm-hmm. So I'm still cranking along, though.
A lot of ups and downs in the theme park business, it sounds like to me.
All right, hold on. Mm-hmm. I'll find
find a good one.
Yeah.
Thank you. That's all I asked for. That's all I wanted.
Yep. So they reorganize everything. Angus is pretty mad about this, and he resigns from the board.
Oh,
along with five other directors. Mm. It's a real I am Spartacus moment.
I am tired of declaring bankruptcy. I'm quitting. That's actually, it helps us, really.
Should we stay? Okay, yeah. Okay, I guess we'll go, but we should probably stay, right? Yeah. 3 years later, at the age of 59, Angus suffers a major stroke.
Oh.
He never fully recovers. And 6 years after that stroke, he dies of a heart attack. His wife, Joanne, divorced him 1 year before he died. 5 years into
his stroke recovery.
To his stroke recovery.
Wonderful. Yep.
Now, there's good news for Angus. He did marry again. Which, of course, didn't last very long.
Right. Apparently just long enough if he died of a heart attack. So.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Anyway, so obviously Six Flags is his greatest legacy. But I would argue that his second greatest legacy may very well be the fact that when he built the first theme park there in Texas, mm-hmm. Six Flags Over Texas, he didn't really check the history of the land over which he built the park.
Oh.
Because he built that park partially over a creek.
I recall this creek.
Johnson Creek.
Mm-hmm.
Which, as you've already noted, we did cross over. It also is the one you can see from that vantage point where we stood in the ballpark.
Oh, yes. You know, yeah. Winds his way down to the Cowboys Stadium.
We crossed. Yeah.
Yeah.
We went through the parking lot. We crossed over a tributary.
Sure.
Yes. Or a runoff.
Yeah.
But the main creek, between the baseball stadium and the football stadium. Yeah.
This was mostly a garbage tributary, if I recall correctly. It's where it collects most of the garbage from the area.
And that's by design.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, got to get it away because the football tickets are so expensive. Mm. Yeah, people love the Cowboys, and so you can't have the trash there.
Mm-hmm.
So the creek between the two stadiums is very lovely.
Mm-hmm.
That's Johnson Creek. Angus built Six Flags Over Texas over this creek in part, right? And he built it specifically over the site where in the early 1900s, a young girl named Annie had drowned.
Oh, well, happens. It's a creek. Okay. People are stupid. I bet someone drowns every few weeks.
It's a very shallow creek. So, she should have parents.
Yeah, true. Yes.
Now, accidents happen, certainly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's a very shallow creek. Annie should have had parents. So it turns out Annie doesn't love the fact that some oil-rich idiot put a roller coaster over her death site.
Mm-hmm.
And she now haunts the Six Flags there. Which is still there today. She still haunts it today.
Okay.
Employees and visitors alike claim that she lives in the yellow house near the entrance to the Texas Giant.
Okay. All right.
Which is a ride.
I kind of figured. Is the yellow house just like a... What is this for exactly? Is it like an employee breakhouse? From what I can see,
it's the candy store, I believe.
Ah, I see. Okay. Yeah.
Made to look like an old-timey Texas house.
Right? Sure. I bet they have a wild Fright Nights out there every fall.
It was kind of hard actually to do the research for this part because if you write anything about like
haunted Six Flags
Over Texas, haunted or ghost, it's like, here's Fright Night, Fright Fest, blah, 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 blah. But from what I can tell, her ghost mostly haunts the candy store, which I believe is the yellow house near the entrance to the Texas Giant. She does venture out, though. Annie has been spotted in the music mill, the palace, and on the log ride.
Oh, ooh, okay.
Yeah.
She
does love a thrill.
It would be so hard. Like, June already hates the log ride so much that I can get her to ride it, like, maybe once every 2 years. I cannot imagine.
She'd even drown in water.
I know. I cannot imagine how much harder it would be to get her to ride it if a ghost showed up on the log ride with us.
Can you imagine?
She'd be so scared.
You probably don't even see it, but then you're, like, looking at the photos afterward.
Yeah.
And you're like, wait a minute.
Yeah.
We were riding alone. I was riding alone. Who's that?
Thankfully, the St. Louis Six Flags is so shitty that all those cameras broke like a decade ago. So,
yeah, I can attest. I was in charge of fixing some of those for a while. Uh-huh. And I did not know how to do that.
We used to like, climb up on the tower or whatever and just kind of fiddle with stuff.
I would mostly work on the computer end of things while someone else did the tower end of things. Mm-hmm. But like people from my company who also did not know how to do stuff would go climb the tower and fiddle with the cameras. And I was like, I'm fuck off. Like, I may not have a prefrontal cortex, but I'm not doing that. she's also seen walking along the railroad tracks nearby, not inside the theme park, but the railroad tracks that we crossed to get to the baseball stadium.
Interesting.
Annie is sometimes seen wandering around there. She's classified as a poltergeist, technically. She is known to shut off the lights. She will open curtains, which becomes a problem in the palace when they're trying to keep the light out.
I believe it.
The shows. She slams doors shut literally into people's faces, giving them sometimes bloody noses. She will also unlock doors that are supposed to be locked, including bathroom stalls, which is real sexy. And employees at Six Flags Over Texas have experienced a sensation of being touched when they are in the candy shop.
Maybe they have children. Because, like, there's no way you or I go into the candy shop with our children and are not, like, constantly...
And it's so sticky.
Touched,
It's just a lasting touch.
Dad, my face is stuck to your jacket.
But I didn't taste any candy, I promise. Don't yell at me. Could also be, so that's a theory. Could also be that the ghost describes to the 50 cent version of candy shop.
I see. Yes.
And
she's
real touchy.
Yeah.
You know,
mm-hmm.
doing this for the video, for the YouTube.
You should.
I am. And that is the story of the haunted Six Flags Over Texas.
Wow.
That we just were at. If we had known, we would have gone in, I'm sure.
I mean, what else could we have done? We crossed the creek that she died in. That's pretty good.
We crossed the creek she died in. We crossed the railroad tracks that she haunts. Mm-hmm. We did okay.
What would be odd is if we had like known about this before we went down there and then desperately tried to find some way to access the creek that appears to be largely inaccessible. But since we had no idea, we literally fell into this creek at one point.
Some of us did, yeah. Some of us that pallet was not very sturdy.
No.
Some feet did fall through into creek, and Annie was right there. Final thoughts about this? How do you feel about being so close to a ghost and not even knowing it? Pretty spooky, huh?
I'm really glad it was daytime. I would have been so scared otherwise of the ghost.
Way too scared. Even child ghosts. Mm-hmm. Scary ghost. Well, on that note, we should say that Is This a Ghost is a production of Smith Show Media. All the notes this week were taken by me, Clayton Smith. All the funny jokes were from Patrick Dean. Our audio editor is Jeremy Montoya. Our video editor is Jen Swanson. Our social media team consists of Kai Valonis, Jen Jones, and Sam Murdoch. Got them all three without even writing them down real quick. Thank you, everybody. You did a great job, and I did a great job. Our merch is done by Fox and Quill Studio. And that's going to do it, I guess, for us this week. And if you want to not be, how's this go? Oh, and gosh, I almost did a great job. We'll see you next week. And in the meantime, don't go to Texas.
Ever.
Don't go to Texas. It's not just because it's ghosts.
Yeah.
This is not actually ghost related. Just don't go to Texas. Yep. Just fucking terrible. We'll see you next week on Is This a Ghost?